bless our Maker. Come all you people, come praise our Maker. Come all you people, come praise our Maker. Come now and worship the Lord. Stand with me and sing if you can. Come all you people, come praise our Maker. Come all you people, come praise our Maker. Come all you people, come praise our Maker. Come now and worship the Lord. You are called to worship, and now we begin our worship with song number 757 in our hymnals. Please remain standing if you're able to, as the jazz team up front leads us. Take a moment before you're seated to welcome your neighbor, and then we'll find our seats. Just reach across the aisle and welcome your neighbor. Good morning to you. and welcome to Knox Church today. My name is Jim Pott, and I'm the minister here at Knox, and we are blessed to have with us today the three men here who are our jazz trio. They are called the Ernest Rupenthal Trio, and guess what? Ernest is one of them. And then we also have Bill Rasmus at the drums, and Michael, I hope I say his last name correct, Le Chasseur. Pretty close. Thank you, Ernest, Michael, and Bill, for leading us in worship today. It is Jazz Week in Ottawa this week. And so there's a number of churches that have jazz musicians in our service this morning. And so we're just blessed to have the three of you here to lead us. Simone is off for some vacation. He's our regular organist. Next week, Sunday, Simone's daughter will be our guest musician. I didn't even know his daughter was a musician, but she will be our guest musician next week, Sunday. Let's come to God in prayer, and we will close that prayer with the words that are printed in our bulletins, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this hour of worship that you bless us with. Thank you for the music that inspires us from week to week with piano and organ, and now this morning also with strings and percussion. We pray, Lord God, that not only the instruments but also our voices will be in harmony and give you praise. We ask, God, that you would be with this world in great need. We thank you that we can have this space, this sanctuary, to be reminded that you will never leave or forsake us, and that you will never abandon this world. Help us to hold that vision forward as we go from this place too, as we seek to bring harmony to a broken world. We pray for people in our own fellowship who live with difficulty and pain and hardship. We ask, Lord God, that you would help them to know that you are with them too. Walk with them and help us to do the same. We thank you for the events that were able to be held in this church community this past week, for the Strawberry Social, for the Presbytery Meeting, for the Inuit Meal. And we ask, Lord God, that all of these events and others too would draw us together, bring praise to you, and help others to know of your good news in this broken world. Hear all of our prayers in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. Our first reading is from Psalm 139, and you're encouraged to look that up in your Bibles as we'll read it together responsively.
Reading responsively from Psalm 139, The Inescapable God. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high I cannot attain.
Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence?
I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea,
even there your hand shall lead me,
If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed.
How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them!
I try to count them. They are more than I stand. I come to the end.
Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me.
Those who speak of you maliciously and lift themselves up against you for evil.
Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you?
I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts.
See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Please rise for a song of response. The song is in the insert of your bulletin. It is called By Faith. It's a song that people who are regularly at Knox might know, but for others it might be a new tune for you. So Ernest is going to play it through once, and then once he does, then I'll invite us to stand and we will sing.
Thank you.
Page numbers for our Old and New Testament readings this morning are found in your bulletins. And our Old Testament reading comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3, reading verses 1 to 10. Samuel's calling and prophetic activity. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Our New Testament reading comes from Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 3. The meaning of faith. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. May God bless these readings from his holy word.
Thanks, guys. Any children here this morning? Come on forward. See, Jesse's here. Anybody else want to come forward? It's just you today, Jesse. Take a chair. Oh, are there some more coming? Come on forward. And while others are coming forward, yesterday at the Strawberry Social, there was a key and a card left. Does anybody own this? Nobody here? Must be somebody from the community that came then. Well, good morning, Jesse and?
Ray.
And Ray. Good to see you, Ray. And I can see you. But if I go like this, I can't see you very well. Because I really need these. I've got something in the pot today. Ray, can you just look in there what we've got? Can you see in there? What's in there? Can you take that out? And, well, that first, this here, take that. And maybe Jesse can help you and see what's in there. Let's open that up. And what have we got in there? What have we got in? Oh, look at that. Those are all of my old glasses, all the way from when I was a kid. These, how do those look on me? Not bad. Are there some more? Oh, look at this one. Yeah, these look, they look pretty good. Can hardly see you. Good thing I have these, because I need a better prescription as I get older. Oh, and there's one more set. Can you hold on to that? I'm not sure how old I was when I had these on. Man, these are a little bit awkward. Oh, I can hardly see you through these. Do you have glasses, Ray? When you get a little bit older, you might need glasses. What do glasses do? They help you to see better. That's right. They help us to see better. God thinks that we need glasses to help us see this world better too. And what do you think God gives us to help us see this world a little bit better? He gives us eyes. He also gives us spectacles. And the spectacles that God gives us is the Bible. And that's why we're here every Sunday, because we want to see the world through this prescription. And God gives us the best prescription this world ever needed. It's talked about in this Bible. And that prescription is Jesus. There's a prayer that I was taught when I was younger. It goes like this. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Because through Jesus, we can see this world better. And it's because he died and because he lives for us that we can have joy and life. Ray, also in there is the Christ lantern that you can take to Sunday school in a minute after our next song. You can lift it out right now. And we're going to sing a song together. It's another song that's in our inserts, and it is Because He Lives. Please stand if you're able to. Please be seated. And Ray, if you want to go to Sunday school, you may. Just follow Jessie. She'll show you where. This morning, God's Word encourages us to think about vision. In the Old Testament reading, it says, the Word of God was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. And then it says, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. In other words, it was close. The lights had almost been turned off, and maybe the fans too. But as in so many stories of the Bible, there's always hope. And that's where that story of Samuel begins. Our New Testament reading speaks of faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. And then there's a whole long line of stories in that chapter of people with visionary faith. This morning, I want us to consider this for ourselves, for our church, for our world in need. God calls us to look forward with faith and to focus our vision, no matter the circumstances, on what God sees in store for us. Not the dismal things of this world. Helen Keller, probably one of the most recognized blind persons who has ever lived, she once said, "What would be worse than being born blind? To have sight without vision." Someone else said, "Vision without action is like a daydream. It doesn't get you anywhere. Action without vision is like a nightmare. It gets you to all the wrong places." Let me share two kinds of vision without action, and then two kinds of action without vision. A couple of daydreams and a couple of nightmares. First, tunnel vision. This is when we get so focused on ourselves, maybe even fearful of change, and any kind of vision or hope just fades away because we're discouraged, causing us to see only negatives. A story is told of two birds soaring far above a beautiful park. They fly the same path, same altitude, same speed. One is an eagle, who returns to tell all the other feathered friends about the beautiful waterfalls, the streams full of trout, animals roaming free, breathtaking landscapes of colorful fields, and even snow-capped mountains. The rest of the birds are amazed and look forward themselves to seeing that, until the other bird, a vulture, speaks. He hadn't seen much of anything except two dead carcasses near the road and some trash on the banks of the stream. They saw the same park. Which would you rather be? Tunnel vision can easily limit what we see, what we do when we're fearful. The other kind of vision which limits our action is hindsight vision. This can happen when we're prideful about our past to the point that we assume nothing good or better could ever possibly be ahead of us because we've done so much good already. Stories told that in 1870, on a clear sunny day in Indiana, a clergyman addressed an outdoor assembly of Christian leaders. Looking up to the skies, he proclaims, "I believe we are coming into a time of great innovations when men will fly through the air like birds." A presiding bishop shouted, "That's heresy. God has reserved flight for the angels alone. The heretical preacher goes home humiliated. The next morning at the breakfast table, he tells what happened at the prayer service the night before to his two sons, Wilbur and Orville. You can tell, I'm sure, how hindsight vision, being so prideful about the past and nothing good can come of the future, and tunnel vision, being so fearful about the future, can severely limit God's vision for ourselves, for a church, for the world. And so that's vision without action. That's kind of daydreamy. But there's also action without real vision that can be a nightmare. The first we'll call impaired vision. That's disobedience. It's going down the wrong path. It's likely what was going on during the time just before Samuel in the Old Testament. The word of God had grown dim, because God's people had lost their way. I like the sign seen at an optometrist's office. At the optometrist's office, it said, "If you don't see what you're looking for, you've come to the right place." The whole story of the Bible, from an eye doctor's perspective, if you will, is this: we need a new prescription. Our vision for what God has in store for us has become impaired. Whether we've been Christians all our lives or just new to the faith, we need the spectacles of God's Word to make sense of this world, to see clearly what God has in store for us, not to see the Bible literally, but to see the big picture of what God has in store for us and this world. Because with impaired vision, our lives can be consumed with action, and then still our lives can be a mess because we're not seeing clearly God's word that promises clarity and purpose for our living. The second way of action without clarity is blurred vision, impaired but also blurred vision. Proverbs 29, verse 18, we didn't read it this morning, but you may know this verse. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." The paraphrase by Eugene Peterson in The Message has it this way. It says, "If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves." What a powerful paraphrase. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. And that's why God called Samuel into that world where people were stumbling all over themselves. That's why God brought his son Jesus into this world to give us a clear picture of what it means to be human, to give us a clear picture of how much God loves this world. Because you see, when we're not clear about God's purposes for us and for this world, when we put away the spectacles that God gives us, then our vision gets blurred and very unfocused. And again, we might even be busy with plenty of activity, but it doesn't seem to be getting anywhere. Because we probably aren't, because we're doing the same thing over and over again. And this too is action without vision. Tunnel vision and hindsight vision severely limit us from doing what God wants us to see. Impaired vision and blurred vision severely limit us from seeing what God wants us to do. What we need for clear vision is foresight, insight, and oversight. First, foresight. When Disneyland was completed on the West Coast, Walter Disney had a dream and a vision for something even greater on the East Side. But Walter didn't live to see opening day of Disney World in Florida. At the ribbon cutting in 1971, someone looked around and said to a friend of the family, "Isn't it too bad Walter wasn't able to see all of this?" The family friend responded, "Actually, Walter did see it. All this wouldn't be here if he hadn't." Walter was a visionary. He saw something long before others could see it with their own eyes. I told this story to the Knox elders at our June meeting because we hope to have a gathering this fall considering God's vision for the future of Knox in 10, 20 years. Even though quite a few of us might not be around, either in this city, in this world, in a decade or two, it's important to plan, to strategize, to be visionary, just like the people who began Knox over 170 years ago. What we do today can have such a profound impact on the future of this congregation, for the impact in this city. Henry Nouwen wrote, "The fruits of your labors may be reaped two generations from now. Trust, even when you do not immediately see the results." Foresight. And then insight. There's a story about three bricklayers working beside each other on a wall. Someone comes up to the first one and says, "What are you doing?" "What's it look like I'm doing?" he replied. "I'm laying bricks." The next person is asked the same question. "Can't you see what I'm doing? I'm building a wall." And then the last bricklayer is asked, who looks up and he says, "I'm building a great cathedral for God." Three workers, same project. And it makes all the difference when you really know what you're doing and you love what you're doing. I was so impressed these last few days with two events at the church here. The presbytery meeting of elders and ministers hosted here where we were served an Inuit meal. And also yesterday's strawberry social. Just two recent events which reminded me again how committed so many people are at Knox and how we love to do this together. But we need to know what we're doing and why. Working on our vision together for God's future at Knox in the center town of Ottawa means remembering these kinds of events and others which help us gain insight into God's plan for us, for this church, for our community. So foresight and insight, and finally, oversight. As the rest of that chapter in Hebrews reminds us, visionary faith is able to see unlikely outcomes given the present reality. Have a look at the kind of stories, if you read further in that chapter, what we find. Noah in the middle of a dry land. "You are going to build a large boat, and this ark is going to save you from a flood to come." And Noah says, "Right." Sarah and Abraham, "But to Sarah, I know you're an old woman, but out of your womb is going to come not just a child, but a family of nations." And Sarah says, "Yeah, right." Moses, "I know you're afraid of public speaking. I'm going to use you to talk to Pharaoh and convince him to let my people go." And Moses says, "Me?" And here's the thing to remember with all of these stories: God's oversight. God's eyes are upon these people, and they had eyes of faith to trust what God had in store for them. What does God have in store for you? for us. Of course, none of us knows how much time we have. But I like often to remind people of Martin Luther's response to that question. If you knew that God would take you home tomorrow, what would you do today? And Luther replied, I would plant an apple tree. In other words, as long as we have life, we plant seeds of hope and faith, not just for myself, but for the next generation. And of course, having a godly vision does include looking beyond our earthly frame. Living faith is a testimony of faith in the Presbyterian denomination, and it has a beautiful statement on this. It says, God prepared for us things beyond our imagining. Our hope is for a renewed world and for fullness of life in the age to come. As Jesus taught us, we pray, Your kingdom come. Life in the age to come is pictured in the Bible in different ways. An eternal kingdom, a new heaven and a new earth, a marriage feast, an unending day, the Father's house with many rooms, and the joy of God's unending presence. As I've seen and heard this past year, so much of what this church has gone through, good and challenging times, it's clear that God's eyes continue to be on this place. And I believe that God wants us to see not only the past, but also to look forward, look ahead. What do you see God doing through you? What do you see God doing through Knox Presbyterian in the center town of Ottawa? That's what I want to think about this summer as I look forward to the fall. And what I want to encourage all of us to think about, to look for what God has in store for us. Because that's what vision is, looking ahead. It's never going to be a crystal ball, but it's the belief in our hearts that God continues to have us looking forward, along with the chorus of witness in the book of Hebrews. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. How's your vision? Let's look forward together. Amen. Number 461 is a hymn of response. And as the jazz team leads us, let's rise to sing, Be Thou My Vision. Our ushers will receive our offering at this time in our worship and will be led by the jazz team with Poor Wayfaring Stranger. God bless you as you give. Please rise as the offerings are brought forward and we sing, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Thank you.
Ernest, Michael, Bill, thank you very much. And you'll lead us in our closing song yet, and also after the words of blessing, they will play one more tune, and you can remain in the sanctuary to enjoy that as well. But thank you very much for that. What a wonderful worship service we've had this morning. May I lead you in prayer. Lord God of heaven and earth, we are strangers on this earth. We do have a holy longing in our souls, in our hearts, in our minds, for something better. And we know through your word, the spectacles that you give us, that you are preparing a new heaven and a new earth. We long for that time, but we also know, Lord God, that you call us to do your will on this earth, to bring about a taste of heaven, of your kingdom here. Bless the gifts that we have offered this morning. May even these financial gifts, as well as all of the times that we volunteer and the opportunities that we have to be of service in this church community, may they bring your kingdom in the center town of Ottawa. Hear our prayers. Help us to have eyes of faith, to see and to do your kingdom work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing song is number 490 in our hymnals, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Thank you.
receive God's parting good word of peace. Join us for coffee, refreshments actually, cold drinks in Geneva Hall after the service if you have time. Ernest, are you leading us also in the Amen? I forgot to ask you. After the blessing? Awesome. Good. But he knows what I mean. Dear people of God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you all, always, God's peace.